head and gave Doc a look. Giant spiders? Don't be ridiculous. Such mutations aren't logical. Doc laid a hand across his heart and assumed a solemn look.
Upon my honor, sir, what I say is gospel. After all, logic has no place in the Deathlands. Although I might add, in the interest of fairness, that the largest of the creatures was only a foot and a half in height, with legs spread 3 feet in length.
See, that isn't all that large. Doc smiled dangerously, showing his fine teeth.
When you have faced hundreds, Silas, they are as big as mountains, and as legion as grains of sand.
Jamais-vu stood then, a half-smile on his handsome face.
I think you're prone to exaggeration in the interest of a good story, Dr. Tanner, but I'll let that pass. Would you like another drink?
No, thank you.
Doc also began to stand, but his host waved him back down before crossing over to the bar and refilling his own glass.
I bow to your first-hand experience, Dr. Tanner, but what happened after the giant spider invasion?
After retrieving the young Corder child, who had run into the spiders...
He had another good reason to leave the children at home.
And sealing off that section, we went in through an exterior airlock into the Krontemp Matrans chamber, where I was fascinated to see a trio of materialization tubes linked to the standard gateway.
Tubes?
Modules, about the size of hospital beds. A clear plastic cover was over each one, awaiting the arrival of the dolphins.
Dolphins being code for...
For the trawl subjects.
Huh. Chicago was primitive, lacking in many of the later refinements to come. At that particular point, they were still using cryonics in conjunction with the time-trawling process, a combination that was later abandoned from what I've read. Subjects were phased into their own individual cold canisters made of vanadium and armor glass.
Oh, bullshit.
Standing at the doorway, Mildred had decided to join the conversation, while JB had elected to remain behind in the living quarters area, relieving Jack of having to join the undefeated Dean in a challenging match of the cootie game.
Such language, and from an educated lady.
I never said I was a lady.
My mistake. Would you like some refreshment?
A small one.
What will you have?
Same as you two. Brandy, with a bit of water, please.
Anxious to re-engage in their previous conversation, Doc reached up with his fingers to stroke the cheeks of his long face.
I was frozen after my trawl? I have no memory of that, sir.
How could you? You were snatched from your timeline and taken into the realm of null time via the gateway. For all intents and purposes, you ceased to exist. Not here, not there. Nowhere. The problem the engineers of Kronos kept running into... was their subjects reappearing during the current time, serving as the original source of the trawl. This was totally unlike jumping from one Matrans unit to another, where your destination was waiting and prepped. When living tissue was trawled, it tended to disintegrate upon rematerialization.
Jamais-vu crossed back to his recliner from the bar, handing Mildred her drink before sitting down.
Thanks.
You're welcome, Dr. Wyeth. Please, have a seat.
Mildred took up a position next to Doc on the edge of a small sofa.
What's the first thing you remember when you arrived in 1998, Dr. Tanner?
Shadowy shapes. Masked faces.
Sounds typical. You would have been disoriented, but you became conscious, fully awake, in a hospital bed.
If my memory is to be believed, that is correct, yes. However, I find my memory to be seriously lacking in detail and sharpness since I began my travels in time. I used to believe, after I was abducted by those madmen in Kronos, that I was placed within the confines of a glass coffin, like a refugee from a Grimm's fairy tale.
Cryopod. In Chicago, when you were trawled, you arrived through one of the waiting cryopods. You know, the canisters made of alloy and armor glass. When you appeared inside, you were then immobilized until they could be sure you had arrived whole and intact. Then, over an extended period, your body temperature was brought down.
Please. His entire body would have exploded. The very blood in his veins would have frozen. There would be cellular disruption on a massive and incapacitating level. There is no instant freeze, except in bad science fiction. Putting subjects in cryosleep and then reviving them is a tedious, dangerous process.
Jamais-vu gave Mildred a doubting look.
What makes you an expert, Dr. Wyeth?
I am a pioneer in cryonics, Dr. Jamais-vu.
Really? Got to experience your subject firsthand, did you?
As did you. We seem to be no worse for wear.
Yes, of course. Still,
As a pioneer in the public sector, without military clearances, you know nothing at all of the true nature of cryonics. If you'll pardon the pun, what you and your so-called colleagues were allowed to see was merely the tip of the iceberg.
And I suppose you're an expert?
Oh, not by any means. I can't explain some of what I know of the utilized cryonic techniques. I just know it works. Worked. Mildred held her tongue, choosing to take another sip of the potent brandy. What Jamevu was saying made sense when you factored in some of the advanced technology she'd seen for herself in the redoubts equipped with cryonic sleep chambers. The basics from her past studies were there, but some of the processes were well beyond what she could have accomplished herself using late 1990s technology. The advanced leap of science that had created the matter transfer gateways also could have been easily involved with cryonics.
Okay, I'll grant you the possibility. You don't have to be such a jerk about it.
And you don't have to be so damned all-knowing, Dr. Wyeth.
I am afraid her self-assurance is one of her less endearing qualities.
Jamevu's grimace quickly turned into a smile. Well, not to me. I like a woman who speaks her mind. Mildred couldn't help but smile back.
How long do you think I was in suspended sleep?
A few days, I'd say. Long enough so they could be sure you were intact and whole. The cryopod served another function, you know. They protected you against any unexpected diseases or exposure. After all, you were in a fragile state, and there were germs and bugs floating around in 1998 you would never dreamed of 102 years ago in the past.
So is that how trawling has to be carried out to work, with cryonics involved on the receiving end?
No. As far as I know, a year or so after you made the trip into 1998, a modification was discovered that allowed the Matrans chambers themselves to serve as collector and containment fields for living subjects, minus the earlier sub-zero temperatures needed until the trawled subject was whole and intact. Besides, if cryonic pods were a necessity, then temporal passage into the future would be an impossibility, and you wouldn't be here talking with me. Mildred suddenly felt fatigue coming on in the seconds of silence after Jamevu spoke.
Oh, I'm sorry. Between my drink and the meal, I'm asleep on my feet, and this sort of techno-babble makes my mind ache. I think I'll go back to bed for the night.
Jamevu stood and took her hand, kissing it as he had kissed Christie's earlier. Good night, Dr. Wyeth.
Good night to both of you.
The stocky physician exited, and the den was silent for several moments before Doc spoke.
The gateway you have in this fortress, you are trying to go back, are you not?
Of course.
Even though, by your own admission, time trawling was never perfected.
Until now.
How so?
I am at the final part of the secret. Tell me, Dr. Tanner, man to man, no pressure. Wouldn't you risk it all to go back home to your own time? To pop in seconds before your original disappearance?
Not long enough. I could not alter the flow of history's river in a matter of seconds.
Minutes, then. An hour. Long enough to warn yourself, or better yet, appear at the same time, replacing yourself in the confusion as your other self vanishes into the temporal doorway. Other than a freak storm front that blew up on a dusty Omaha street, no one ever need know you disappeared. You could alter your future. You could save your destiny.
To reclaim the life I should have lived. Yes, damn you, yes, yes, of course I would.
That's what I thought you'd say. I'd do the same. And in fact, I plan to. I have no love of being trapped in a world such as this. No cable television, no pizza delivery, no World Wide Web. I am luckier than most, but I am also bored out of my mind. Screw fresh coffee, pretty sunsets, and sweet-smelling flowers, Dr. Tanner. I want to go home.
But what of your disease?
Disease? What disease?
Why were you placed in the cryo-suspension plan, if not due to illness?
Oh, that. I was placed in the freezer for my brain. Those in the know were aware of the impending Holocaust. They also knew they would need men of vision after the bombs fell, and as such, I was put on ice until needed.
You agreed to this?
Like your own experiences with the totality concept, I wasn't given much choice. I wasn't conscious to experience the excitement, but from what I can tell, once the war began, it hit with 10 times the destructive force expected. The new civilization they expected me and my brain to be a part of was wiped from the map, along with the rest of the world. Doc sat back, his brow furrowed, staring across the candlelit room at his host.
So, why am I needed? What knowledge I held of how time-trolling was accomplished has been long lost.
Jamais Vu looked Doc